How you guys doing this morning? Right? Don't you just look forward to Sundays? I do. Every Sunday I look forward to this because I feel like when we're in here, we have this safety, this shield around us from the Lord, and everything outside it fades away, and we are just in God's presence, and He's with us, and it's just, I love it, and I look forward to it. The hard part, bless you, the hard part is getting up here and in front of all of you and seeing your faces and wondering, oh, what are they thinking about, you know, and the different, some of you are deep with your eyes shut in prayer, and, you know, and some of you are looking up and praising God, and, yeah, others are down, looking down, praying, and, yeah, it's just awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's pray. Father God, we do thank you for your word, and thank you that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And thank you for all the mighty men and women who divide the word of God, Lord. It's so awesome that we can hear your word all day and all night long, that we can read it all day and all night long, Father. And I thank you for all these mighty men who are so blessed in dividing the word of God that we can listen to and hear the word of God in its truth, and Lord, allowing myself to even come up here and share it, Lord, it's just such an honor. It's such a privilege, and I thank you for entrusting us with your word. So bless it, Lord, bless it, and let it have its way in our lives, Lord, no matter what that may be, whether it's to encourage us, whether it's to edify us, even whether it's to chastise us, Lord. We want your full blessing, and we need your word in our life. And so teach us, Lord, this morning. And maybe even if it's just one thing I might say, Lord, let it impact our lives, or let it be the word itself. And so thank you, Father, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Luke chapter 11, as we continue to systematically go through God's word. And I was talking with Brother John, Big John, and we were talking about the word of God. And he mentioned to me, you know, how the Jewish rabbis back then, they say that every comma, every dot, every space, everything is a sermon in itself. Every word, every syllable, that you can have, it's all a Bible study. And I would agree. I mean, we've been in the chapter of Luke for a while now, and you can take one verse, you can take one word, and you can have a Bible study out of it. That's what's so unique about God's word. It's powerful, and it speaks to us. And I love that. So don't think, man, we're still in chapter 11. Look at it. Wow, there's a lot in 11, and I'm getting a lot in it, and it's awesome. Because we got to eternity to finish chapter 11, you know, and so it doesn't matter. So praise God. So remember last week we were talking about when Jesus healed that demon man, and He healed them of it. And this demon came out, and those who were watching him, the religious leaders in them, the scribes, they said, hey, the reason why you cast this demon out of this man, because you are yourself, you have Beelzebub in you, and you're possessed by Satan himself. And then Jesus obviously made it clear that his kingdom and his house is greater than Satan's house, and that a house divided could not stand. And Satan himself is not divided against himself, because then he would be defeated if that was the case. And so he also was talking about, gave them illustrations on how, you know, Satan might be the strong man and his kingdom is strong and he has many goods, many people who are following, but a stronger man is here, and that was Jesus himself. And he came to break down the works of the devil. And I think when he cast that man out, that demon out of that man, he showed him right there that he is greater than anything that Satan could do. And so we need to be encouraged with that. And so then he goes and look at verse 23, because after he was sharing that illustration, He shares another illustration here in verse 23, and he says, now, after he was sharing with them, he says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. So again, I think we're looking at the heart of Jesus, and he's sharing his heart of a shepherd in his flock, because he's the great shepherd. So again, Jesus made it clear to them who was greater than Satan, that he is the stronger man, and that the gathering and the scattering here is definitely a clear picture of a shepherd in his flock. I think that's the heart of Jesus. He always wants to gather people to him. And then, you know, that's what we need to do. So there's some of us that just love to have people around them. You know, they love, I think Carmen's a good example. She likes to minister to people, and she likes that when people, she likes big groups. Me, I don't like crowds. She loves crowds. She doesn't let crowds keep her from doing things. Me, I do, because I just don't like crowds. Now, if I was in the middle of a crowd and the Lord said, okay, go and start sharing the gospel, that would be different then. But I just, you know, I don't like crowds. But Jesus, he loved crowds. And he always wanted to be around people. He always wanted to gather people unto him. And I think that's the heart, his heart. And I think we too need to have that same heart of gathering and not scattering people. One who brings in, Jesus was one who would bring in the sheep. And the person who does not stand with Jesus will not gather, but they'll end up scattering the flock. And I think that's something we need to be careful with. There's a lot of people out there who are trying to scatter the flock. Amen. And they're infiltrating. Yes. I love you guys. I got a lot of teachers out here. Then that's what the enemy does, because you know he can't beat the church. So what does he do? He joined the church, and he wants to bring in division. He wants to bring in chaos, and he wants to scatter the flock, but not Jesus. He wants to gather. And so I think when I read this in look at verse 23, he says, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. I think Jesus is really showing us that, you know, our relationship with him is so important. I think our relationship with Jesus Christ will determine the success on how we gather in our lives and how we gather in the lives of others. The more you take in, the more you're going to give out to others, and you're going to give that away. Faith isn't faith until you give it away. And so I think it starts with having that relationship with our Lord and Savior, because he's the one that determines our destiny. He's the one that determines salvation, not us. I like what he said in Luke, and let me encourage you with Luke chapter 7, verse 28. We already gone through that, so we don't have to worry about that in 5 years. He said, for I say unto you, among those born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Now, I love this, and I want to encourage you with this when Jesus said this, because Jesus tells us here that John the Baptist, he was the greatest of all the prophets. And he was great in his, you got to think, okay, why was he so great? Well, he was great in his boldness and confronting sin and preaching the gospel of salvation, and how he was bold in saying that, you know, you need salvation, but it has to come through repenting and receiving the forgiveness of sins. I mean, he was great in standing up for righteousness, and he was great in ushering the Messiah. He was the forerunner of Jesus himself. And John had to, and he, I love the what he said. He says, you know what? I have to decrease so Jesus can increase. And that's the same with us. We have to decrease so Jesus can increase in us. And people will see Jesus, not us. And so this is why John was so great. And yet, Jesus said, guess who's greater than John? I'll give you one guess. Who's greater than John? Wait a minute. Wait, we know Jesus was, but who? Wait, Bobby said over here. No, you. You. No, you. Yeah. Okay. He says, we are greater than John was. You know what? When I think of the different relationships that we had, you know, John, he lived under and died under the Old Testament covenant. But You're greater because we are living under the New Testament covenant. We're talking about the covenant of grace, a covenant where we are the bride to the bridegroom. John wasn't. He was a cousin and a friend of Jesus, but we're called the bride and of the bridegroom. And when you die in Jesus Christ, guess what we do? We step right into eternity. This is why we're greater. And when John died, he had to wait till Jesus died and rose from the dead before he stepped into eternity. And so, but you know, I can honestly say one thing when it comes to being bold and standing up for righteousness and being greater, and when it comes to confronting the sin in our lives and not compromising our faith, we definitely weren't greater than John was, because he was very bold. But we are greater because of our position in Christ. And now we're saved by grace. We have the mercy of God. And they had it back then too. But again, our position, we are greater. Now, there are many who believe that that you can be for the world and you can be for Christ. That you can ride that fence. You ever say, hey, you know what? You're riding that fence. But Jesus made it very clear here that, you know what? You're either going to gather or you're going to scatter. And I want you to take a moment in your mind and ask yourself, am I gathering the things of God or am I scattering? Think about it. Because Jesus makes it very clear that you're either going to gather or you're going to scatter. You're either going to fight against the evil or you're going to fight against the righteousness that wants to take over your life. Fight against the work that God wants to do, and or you're going to fight against the evil. You're going to fight the kingdom of God, or you're going to fight for the fight against the kingdom of evil. And if you think you can be neutral and do nothing for the Lord and be okay, or if you're going to stand still in your relationship with Jesus Christ, that's totally impossible. You can't. Because being neutral is doing nothing for God, and being neutral is in your relationship. If you're neutral with God, if you're saying, hey, you know, I'm not for Jesus, but I'm not for the devil, then Jesus clearly said that you are lukewarm. And that's, he tells us in Revelation chapter 3, 14, listen to what he said. When he was talking to the church of the Laodiceans, he said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, right, these things says the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I could wish you were cold or hot. So then because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. You know, when I think of this, I think Jesus is saying, you know what, I'd rather you be for me. Or if you're not going to be for me, then I'd rather you not be for me. Because you can't be right here. You can't be for me, and you cannot be against me. And if you are, you are lukewarm. And I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth. You know, I can't even fathom being vomited out of God's mouth. You know, just, you would never stop. You just keep going. And then John said in chapter 17, he shared what Jesus said. Jesus said in John 17, verse 15 through 19, he said this, listen, I do not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. This is what, isn't it great to know Jesus is praying for you? Amen. Right now, he's praying for us that we will be kept from the evil one, and that they are not of the world, just as I'm not of the world, and sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. And as you send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. And then John said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, listen to what he says, and be encouraged by this. He says, you are of God, little children, and I have overcome them, because he who is in you is what?
Greater.
Do you believe that? He that's in you is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. Than Satan, or anything that the world has to offer, or anything that anybody comes at you. Jesus is greater in you. So as a Christian, I'm either going to be gathering or I'm going to be scattering. I'm either going to be for him or against him. And to say that I'm not against him or not for him, then you made that choice of not being for him, because Jesus only gives us two choices. Now look at verse 24. And so Jesus says, now when the unclean spirit, he's talking about the man who he delivered from the evil spirit. He says, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places and he's seeking rest and finding none. And he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Then he goes and he takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse off than the first. Man, that's heavy. I mean, especially when you witness that in your own life or in the life of others. Amen. And so, again, Jesus, he gives us another illustration here. And that illustration is that man who's delivered from an evil spirit, but he keeps his life empty. His house, it's empty. Instead of totally turning his life to Jesus and being filled with the presence of Jesus and the Holy Spirit, he stays neutral and he keeps his life empty. And so what happens when a man gets an evil spirit cast out of his life and he does nothing about it? Well, I believe just like the evil spirit that Jesus talked about, what happens to him, I believe that this man's going to experience many dry places as well. No matter where he goes or what he does, there's just going to be this emptiness in his life. There's going to be a void in his life, and he can't find anything to satisfy it or anything to fill up that empty space that evil spirit left when he went out of him. And so Jesus, he tells us that even the evil spirit, that when he was cast out of this man, that it also seeks rest, but it can't find it. And it becomes restless. And he wanders around and he's seeking a house to occupy. You know, in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 16, it tells us those who are evil, apply that to evil spirits, they can't rest until they do evil. Unless they cause others to do evil like them, they will not have any rest. And they will even sacrifice their sleep in order to make this happen. That's what the enemy does. Those who love to do evil, they can't rest and they can't be satisfied until they do evil and they cause other people to do evil. Then the evil spirit that left him will say what? In verse 20, look at verse 24. He says this, that when the unclean spirit goes out of the man, he goes through the dry places, he's seeking rest, and he's finding none. And he says, I will return to my house from which I came. Now notice the words, to my house. That life that demon left this man, that life he occupied, that was a place of rest for that demon. It was a place that it was comfortable in, and it made him feel good. And that house became a stronghold one more time, because that man, he left his house unoccupied. And so it became a stronghold one more time. And so it goes back into that place that, you know, that's always looking so good, and that made him feel good. And all that work, I think of all that work that man done, that was done by that man who was delivered. Look at verse 25. It says when the demon comes, he's going to find that man swept and he put his life in order. All that cleaning up that he did in his life, putting his life in order, removing all that rubbish and made it ready to be occupied. Well, when the evil spirit decides to come back, he'll find that house unoccupied and it's not filled with the new tendon. And you know that new tendon is supposed to be the stronger man, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who delivered him. And the same goes with us. When God delivers you and you know it's the Lord and you acknowledge it's God, you have to allow him to occupy your life. You know, they say in order to kick a habit, you have to bring in another habit. Well, that sin that maybe that was ruling your life or that had a stronghold and God delivered you, unless you allow Jesus Christ to come in and be that new occupant in your life, what's going to happen? Well, that evil spirit that left that man, he bombarded this man's life with more force greater than before. And he brings more evil with him, and he's worse off than the first time. All because why? This man left his house empty and unoccupied. And most likely he'll never clean his house up again. And I think Jesus said it well. Matthew 24, verse 12, he said, and because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that's so true. We see that today, right? Because of what sin does, the love of many wax cold. Peter said it well in chapter 1, verse 8. He says that if we don't abound in the things of God, if we don't add to our faith, if we don't grow, we don't mature, if we don't occupy our lives with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, if we become barren, if we become unfruitful, then if we lack those things, we become short-sighted, even to blindness, and forgotten that we were cleansed from our old sins. I think the worst person, and maybe you might agree with me, but the worst person in the world is a backslidden Christian. Amen. They're miserable. Why? Because they come to church and they feel convicted and they feel guilty. Then they go out there and they're back in their sin and they're doing things they know that they shouldn't. And the Holy Spirit's convicting them and they know it's wrong. So they're miserable. I know, I felt it. I was there once. And I didn't fit in here because I knew I was doing bad. And when I was doing bad, I knew I was doing it. And so you become miserable. And so you have to get back and you forget that you were cleansed from those old sins. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, that was chapter 1, chapter 2, Peter said this, "For if they who have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ," again, that's what you have to do. You occupy your life with the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, the word knowledge is what? To know by experience. Let him experience him in your life. Not just know about him. Experience God in your life. He says, if you are again entangled in them, in that sin or that pollution that you escape and you're overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than to know it and turn from the holy commandment delivered by them. But it has happened to them according to the true proverb. A dog returns to his own vomit. I mean, how many of you have experienced a dog throw up and then eat? I know that's gross. You know, it's not a sight you want to see. But if you have, how many of you have dogs? Then I know you have experienced that. I had my dopey Doberman experience with him, and it's the most grossest thing, and I don't even want to touch him. And then I think that he wants to lick me. I won't let him lick me. I won't do it. It's a very gross thing. Well, guess what? That's how God sees you when you are when he delivers you from a sin, and when you go back to that sin, that's how God sees you. You're like a dog that threw up and goes back and eats its vomit. It's gross to God. Yeah, and so you know what? You have to turn away. That's how important it is that when the Lord heals us, when he heals you from any addiction, from the old man or for the old woman, from that bondage of sin that was so addicting and controlling your life, that you occupy your life with the goodness of God. And you allow Jesus to what? Finish what he started in your life. That's what he said in Hebrews chapter 12. This is what it says. "Therefore, we also, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, who's what? The author and the what? And the finisher of our what? For the joy that was set before him endure the what? Despising the what? And has sat down at the right of the throne of God." Man, you guys are awesome. I think that's why I think our church is such a special church. You guys are so rooted and grounded in the Word of God. And you look to the master, not the pastor. And that is so awesome. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24, Paul said this, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temporal in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run this, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not one who's beating the air, but I discipline my body and I bring it into subjection, at least when I have preached to others, I myself should not become disqualified. Guys, we're running a race. And you know what the beauty of our race is that we're running for a prize that's incorruptible and undefiled. And the beauty of it is that we don't have to compete with ourselves. Every one of us who's running the race gets the what? Prize. And the prize is the streets of gold. The prize is heaven, eternity, salvation, is being with Jesus and being with the saints and the heavenly hosts. That is the prize. And he says, run with endurance. If you knock down a hurdle, what do? You get up and you continue the run. You don't stop and knock a hurdle down and stop. We continue to run the race. I love that video. You got to watch it of the Special Olympics. And it shows these young teenage kids with Down syndrome kids. And they're all running the race. One of them fell down. They all stopped. They went back and they picked that one that fell. They picked him up and they linked arms and they all ran together and finished the race. They even made a commercial out of it. I mean, that's a good picture of us. We leak arms. We're leaking arms with Jesus, and we're all running together. We're not going to leave anybody behind. Jesus is not going to leave anybody behind who doesn't choose not to be. He wants everybody to win the prize. But there's going to be many who will choose not to because they don't want to. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, he who has what? A good work in you will what? He will complete until the day of Jesus Christ. God's going to complete it. And this is what God wants to do. And this is why Jesus said, hey, when I delivered you and when he defeated Satan and he cleansed that house, that you got to occupy that house with what he did and with his goodness and everything. You know, every one of us, we all have this nature in us that we want to fill our lives with something, right? Each and every one of us. And if we don't fill it with Jesus, then we're going to have this empty life, and sin will come in, and sin will try to fill it. The enemy will try to do that, and it'll make it worse for us. It'll make it harder for us. So if you have to fill your house with and that's why important is you have to fill your house with the goodness of God. And we're going to prepare our hearts for communion. I'm going to read Colossians 3, chapter 3 to you. Listen to what Paul said. If then you who are raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God, and set your mind on the things above and not the things of the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanness, passion, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of those things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourself once walked when you lived in them. But now you yourself are to put off these things: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. And do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with its deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, slave nor free, but Christ is all in all. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. And if anyone has complained against another, even as Christ forgave you, you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body. And be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with gladness in your heart to the Lord. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, and giving thanks to God the Father through him. This is what God wants us to do. So as we're going to prepare our hearts right now, and we're going to receive communion, I want you to meditate on Jesus. Meditate on what he says here about, think about the things that you need to put off in your life. And now is a time when you're sitting there, you and the Lord, to ask him to clean your house, your body there in your life, and ask him to occupy the house with the things of God, the things from above and not the things from below, so that the enemy won't come and bombard you with sin and that sin that you're so easily can get caught up into. I mean, we all have faults. We all have shortcomings. But we need to be occupied with the things of God in our life. So as we prepare for communion, just take a couple seconds here. I want you to examine your life right now. And I want you to, between you and God, and just ask him to clean your house right now. And then to fill it with himself. So just take that moment right now. Father, as we come together and Lord, as we seek to take communion, Father, Lord, we don't want it to be a repetitious act or something we just do every Sunday. We want it to be intimate. We want it to be powerful. We want it to be life-changing, life-cleansing. When I read that portion of scriptures and all the things that you told us that we need to put off, Lord, we pray together in agreement that you would help us to put off the old man and the old woman. We want to clean our temple, Lord, right now. And we want it to be occupied with a new tenant, that the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ in our life. Our heart is your home, Father. And we pray that you cleanse our heart right now. We pray that you would fill us with the things from above, Lord, and that you would clear our minds from the things that are below. And so, Father, as we prepare and to take communion, Lord, we pray, Father, that we will have a life-changing experience right now. And we want to thank you, Lord, and give you glory and honor in Jesus' name. Meditate on what I'm reading right now. I'm going to be reading from Philippians chapter 2. So just kind of close your eyes, and that way you won't be distracted, but you'll hear better when you have your eyes closed. So listen to what these words says. Therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, and if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambitions or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. And let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself to the point and becoming obedient to the point of death, even to the death of the cross. Therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that in the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, and those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have also obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Father, we do thank you, Jesus, that you humbled yourself and you were willing to come down, Father, willing to leave paradise and come down and to reach out and to touch humanity. Touch us. Thank you that we are not the same anymore, that our lives have been changed and now our lives are complete in Christ. Thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Help us to have the same mind as Christ, to be like-minded with Christ, connected with Jesus, and connected with one another. So, Lord, as we take communion, Father, may we remember what you have done for us. Remember that it was for the joy that you, Father, that you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. And so as we partake, Lord, may we remember all that you done and that all that you're going to do for us, even in the future. And so we want to thank you, Lord, and we give you glory and honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and partake. Thank you, Lord. All right. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Thank him, guys. And remember, he's your Lord and Savior. Thank you. Thank him that, you know, he gave you his word. And thank him for your relationship with him and that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life and that he has delivered us from the evil one.